Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words that I share, may the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you indeed are the one who saves us, who redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It seems that once there was this particular church, and they had an unusual ritual every Sunday morning. Before the church sang the doxology, they would all stand up and turn to the right, facing a big blank white wall. And then they would sing. Every Sunday they did this. And finally, a visitor to the church was confused, and he asked, "Why do you do this?" No one knew. The only answer they could come up with was, "We always did it this way." But that answer didn't satisfy the visitor. He asked other people the same question, but they didn't know. And finally, there was this elderly gentleman who was the oldest member of the church, had been a member the longest time, and he remembered the reason. It seems that at one time they didn't have hymnals. And the words to this song, "Praise God from whom all blessed," the words to that song were painted on that big blank white wall. And everyone, when it came time to sing the doxology, would stand and face the white wall and sing the words. Well, over the years, the words faded, and then they were painted over several times. But every Sunday, they still got up and faced that white wall. You know, sometimes we do things without really understanding why or what it means. We do rituals and we forget the meaning behind them. And so today I'm continuing my series on the Lord's Prayer. And I offer this series as a way of reminding ourselves what it is we're praying for and why. Because I think, even for me, it's so easy to stand up, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and just say it and wrote, not really think about what it is we're praying for. And Jesus said that this prayer was a model. Didn't necessarily mean to pray it every week. But he said, "Pray then like this." And it tells us what kinds of things we're to pray for, how to think about things. Now last week, I talked about the words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And today we take up the next verse, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I know I'm dating myself here, but I think most of you will remember the movie, Oh God, that came out in 1977 with George Burns as God, and John Denver played Jerry Landers, a character who worked in a grocery store that God appeared to. And in that movie, over the length of the movie, several times, God tells Jerry, "I've given you everything you need to make it work. I've given you everything you need to make it work." Now, let's be honest. We pray that every week, but I'm sure there are times that we feel that there's just no way that God's kingdom is ever going to be realized on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for that, but then things like what happened in New Zealand this past week take place. And we just think, it's never going to happen. God's kingdom is never going to come. The truth is, though, we have been given what we need to make it work. That wasn't just the words of George Burns' version of God, but that's the words of Jesus. we can help bring God's kingdom on earth. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, the truth, and the life. And it didn't mean he said, I personally am. In other words, everybody's got to believe in me. But he said, my life, the way I live my life, that's where we find the difference. Now, I think there are about three questions that should come up in our minds when we pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, as I said, can we ever expect God's kingdom to come on earth? Many would say no, we cannot. It is only something that we can expect in the next life. That is our hope for the next life. To get out of this life into the next, so as it were. However, Jesus, the writers of the New Testament, and others over the years have believed that yes, we can experience kingdom on earth here on earth. Maybe not over a long months, years, decades, centuries, expanse of time. But for now, in short bursts throughout our lives. When those times when everything seems right. However, those times are often fleeting that we feel that way. But does that mean that we should not work for them? Does that mean we should not believe that the kingdom of God can't come? In our passage from 1 Chronicles, David believes that the kingdom had come when the offering for the new temple was collected. Listen again to some of the words that Jan read. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come for you, and you rule over all. That's talking about a kingdom on earth, or a kingdom of heaven on earth. David believed it was here just as it was in heaven. It's not a thing to come, but a present reality as well. And then the second question, obviously, is, well, but how is it going to come? In our First Thessalonians passage, there's a thought about this. As you know, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you live a life worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that we can leave up to others. If we cannot, it is something that we have to believe in and we have to work for. To find it in the lives of others and also in our own lives. Howard Schneider, in his book Models of the Kingdom, writes, what the people believe about the kingdom often shapes what they do. If we cannot believe in the kingdom of heaven ever coming on earth, then we will not have the vision or the energy to do our part to make it happen. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you believe in will happen, and what you don't believe in won't happen. And we have been given everything we need. Love, hope, courage, joy, peace, all of those wonderful things. We've been given those to make it happen. And we do it one small step at a time. We can bring the kingdom for someone who is in despair, someone who is in poverty, someone who is confused. We can offer and share the kingdom with them. I think part of the problem, though, for us is that our notion of a kingdom is antiquated. Kind of like I was sharing with Sammy and Tommy. We think of someone in power lording it over the people, especially the poor peasants. Cliff Glazer writes, I substitute commonwealth. Because ultimately God's kingdom is a commonwealth, which we all share spiritually and materially. And when I say all, I mean not only Christians or human beings, but all of life. Jesus certainly believed that the kingdom is like a commonwealth. There was enough for everyone, and everyone needed to share equally in the providence and gifts of God. And I think we can all agree that that's what made this week's announcement of the rich people who bought their children's way into prestigious colleges and universities so insidious and wrong. In doing so, they kept other people, people who were well or perhaps better deserving of those places in those universities, from getting what they worked so hard for. The riches of the world are for everyone. And we know it hasn't been that way for a very long time. But that's what we can advocate for. That's what we can call for, work for. The riches of the world for everyone and are meant to be shared with everyone. Don't you find it interesting that the one we call the Savior did not have a place of his own? Or as he said, no place to lay his head. Everything he had and as an adult, he shared in common with disciples and with others. And that's the life that we're to emulate. I don't think Jesus is suggesting go out and sell everything and have no place to lay your head. But that's the kind of life, the thought process that we're supposed to emulate. That's the kingdom that we're supposed to work for here on earth. Because that is surely the way it is in the kingdom to come. Which then begs the last question. Perhaps this is the hardest one of the three. Do we really want God's kingdom to come? Do we really want God's will to be done? Things would certainly be different. Very different. We might not have as much as we have now. Everyone would be equal, and I'm not just talking about the Christians, but among all life on earth. Can we set aside our earthly wants and biases so that everyone is equal and has what they need? That's a very, very different view of life than we experience now. And it would be a tremendous change. But when we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's what we are praying for. Could we live with that? Could we live in a true commonwealth? I think in the end, that's the real question for this petition. Can we live with that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.